May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 944. Tell me, Saviour from above, dearest object of my love, where thy little flocks abide, sheltered near thy bleeding side. Hymn 944.
To read together this evening from the book of Genesis, firstly chapter 25, commencing at verse 19, and then chapter 28. Genesis chapter 25, commencing to read at verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. and the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, which is boiled. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And we turn a couple of chapters to chapter 28. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Jacob, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. May the Lord bless the word that we have read. So much teaching in these things, friends, if only the Lord would reveal them and grant us that true spirit of help in prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank thee that thou hast brought us each in to thy courts at the time of the evening sacrifice. Ah, the evening sacrifice, Lord, a time when we should come before thee and present ourselves in the house of God. What a wonderful thing to be here. What a solemn thing to be here. Lord, we do pray that thou would remember each one as they have entered into night, some in sorrow, some in trouble, some with burdens, some with doubts. Whatever it is, Lord, thou knowest how they come, and thou knowest the state they are in. Lord, we do pray there might be a portion for seven and also for eight. We do beg, Lord, that thy spirit will take hold of the word and use it in accordance with thy divine, holy, sovereign will. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And it is of thy mercies, Lord, that we are not consumed. It is of thy mercies that we are found in the house of God tonight. But oh, as a friend sought, Lord, before the service, we need more than that. We need thee to come in, Lord, and to make one in our midst. We need thee, Lord, to soften our hard and stony hearts, and Lord, to present thyself amongst us here tonight, a few poor sinners seeking thy holy, pure face. Lord, we are so distant from thee. Lord, may it be the cry of one and another, show pity, Lord, O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting sinner live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee? A repenting rebel, Lord, yes, to be brought to Jesus. Oh, may it be so that that might be the very prayer of one or another. My sins, they speak against me, the vileness and the wretchedness and my undone state before a holy, pure, sovereign God. How can I stand? How shall I stand? Lord, come in and show us, Lord, that there is one. There is one who is able, and since my Saviour stands between in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. And so, Lord, help us as we would approach unto thee this evening. Oh, with much temerity. Yes, Lord, with much shyness. Which with much slowness of foot, one might say, to approach unto thee at the mercy seat, and yet to praise thee, and yet to thank thee. As the hymn writer says, and we do thank thee, Lord, because there is a throne of grace. Oh, we pray then that each of us might be helped to come there from time to time, pleading and seeking and begging that the Lord would appear for us in our cases, in our situations, in our burdens. Lord Jesus, remember each one. Oh, thou knowest all about them. Thou knowest what they have before them in the week ahead. Thou knowest the hurdles. Thou knowest the mountains. Thou knowest, Lord, that which troubles their breast. Oh, Lord, we do pray that any that feel to be low, thou would raise them up. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Oh, may it be so with those that cannot praise thee now. Lord, we do seek then for the souls in different exercises and burdens and the things that they carry. Thou knowest it all, Lord. Oh, may they come. May they come seeking thee, and that thou wilt give them a portion to take home, something to take home and to beat out, to work upon, to ponder over, to consider, Lord. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt then make one in our midst, that, Lord, we shall have a hope of being amongst those who truly have come, will come up. These are they. Sir, I said, whose are these, and whence came they? And he said, sir, thou knowest, these are they who have come up out of great, tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, Lord, do appear for any that are in a great tribulation with that hope that it is well with them, that they walk that path because thou would have them to do it so that they might walk closer to thee. Lord, we pray for souls in that state. Thou knowest, Lord, we don't know where they are. Thou dost do appear, dear Jesus, this evening. We do beg. Remember the young friends, Lord. Oh, how we have that concern for the young friends. We do thank thee, Lord, for the Sunday school. And we thank thee, Lord, for we hope and trust that help given to speak to them. And we pray there may be something that they could take away and consider. As we tried, Lord, to talk of the stones. Lord, we pray for the young. and those in the Sunday school, those taught at home, those at school, with their worries and their troubles. Lord, we pray also for them, that help in their studies, that help in their learning, that guidance and direction in all things. Lord, hear their prayers. Oh, may they pray for their parents, Lord. We pray for them. May they pray for this chapel, for this people. Lord, touch the hearts of the young, we pray. For, Lord, how touching it is in the word when the Lord disciples would send away the young and the little ones. And, Lord, wonderful word, we feel touches our very hearts. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, Lord, so thus we pray for the dear little ones. And we pray for those that are too young to be out tonight and are perhaps at home, but still bless them, Lord, and their parents with them. We do pray. Lord, we pray for those young friends, Lord, in their early work, and those at secondary school and in college life, all these things, Lord, that they might pray their way along, they might seek thee continually, and that, Lord, they might desire that thou wilt guide and direct every step of the way. Oh, that divine guidance, Lord, we do pray for them and beg of thee that thou would remember the dear young people and keep them fast by thy maidens in the house of God. Lord, whether it be here or elsewhere, but keep them, Lord, in the ways, in the old ways, in the old paths, in the old things. Lord, may they not seek out new things. May they not seek out new inventions in the things of God, as it were. But, Lord, to be steadfast. Oh, Lord, to cleave, even as Ruth cleaved. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Lord, remember the young. Oh, may we have more earnest prayer for the rising generations, Lord, for the future of our little denomination, we do pray. The Middle Ages, Lord, all the concerns and the cares, often both ways, looking to older parents, sometimes to aged parents, and then looking down to children, Lord. The squeeze middle, some have called it, but Lord, whatever it is, there is that need for prayer on all sides. There is that need for that daily help and strength to be given. Oh, may their eyes be fixed on thee. Yes, to fix their to make thy goodness known before them. Yes, that they will truly prove to fix their eyes on Jesus and him alone. Lord, we look to so many different ways of resolving our problems, but oh, to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hopes to dwell, and to find him make a way for us in all things. Lord, remember then those in middle age, and then the older friends, Lord. Oh, we pray for them. We pray for them in the concerns that they have over daily things, the concerns perhaps as they near the river, as they get nearer to the river Jordan. How will it be for me in the swelling of Jordan? Lord, give them some comfort. That last hurdle, the major hurdle, as it were, that last great trial, they will pass it shouting the triumphs of their King. Oh, we plead, Lord, thou would remember the old friends, though, older friends in day-to-day life, even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable, and unchanging love. Lord, do remember them, we beg. And oh, Lord, we must pray as, oh, helped for our nation at this time. We believe a pivotal time, and perhaps a pivotal week, Lord, in terms of the things of Europe. Oh, Lord, where are we? What disarray, what confusion amongst men. And oh, Lord, if only their eyes were upon God and not upon their own whys and wheres, and wherefores, Lord. Oh, we do pray that, Lord, we will pray, seek that thou wilt do that which is right. Lord, the government, the control is upon thy shoulders, and yet, Oh, how do we pray, Lord? We're so far off from thee. Iniquity runs down our streets. We've enabled things to come onto our statute books that should never be there. And Lord, in our weakness, in our sinfulness as a nation, we deserve to be judged in some way or another. And oh, is it any surprise, therefore, that the tentacles of Europe are wrapped around us in almost an inextricable way? But Lord, remember this nation. Thou hast delivered us. Thou hast delivered us in the two world wars and in many other things too. Lord, hear our prayers for the nation, that we may even see thy deliverances in this Brexit. Lord, thou knowest, we leave it with thee. We can do no more but pray as poor creatures, as part of this nation. And Lord, do remember our little denomination, and remember, Lord, the servants of God and those that have preached today, and they're now, Lord, mending their nets, as the expression is, and looking over that which they've said, and the enemy's not far. Lord, we pray thou wilt bless them. The enemy's not far away, telling them they should have said this, and why didn't they say that? Oh, Lord, we pray that the word will be used in accordance with thy holy sovereign will, and souls will have been blessed today. It may have been a gospel day in Zion, a day of blessing and favour, a day when the Son of Man will have been seen here and there, up and down in our Lord land. We do pray. Remember then all of thy servants that preach the word faithfully and fully. We do pray. And Lord, send more out into the places, Lord, of worship. We do pray. Oh, may we yet see that the harvest is plenty and the labourers are few. Lord, send them out. We do pray. With a thus saith the Lord. Oh, we do seek for these things. Now, O Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in thee. Our eyes are up unto thee. We cannot speak of Christ. Yes, living tongues are dumb at best. We must die to speak of Christ. But oh, that we might just scratch the very surface of talking of raising God high, the Jesus high upon the gospel pole, and that we might be able to do so with the strength and the help and the might and the power given by one and one alone. So send thy help, Lord, we do pray. Send down thy light and thy truth. Let them lead us, we do beg, and forgive our poor prayers for Jesus Christ's sake.
Hymn 149. There is a friend who sticketh fast and keeps his love from first to last, and Jesus is his name. An earthly brother drops his hold, is sometimes hot and sometimes cold, but Jesus is the same. Hymn 149.
Once again, friends, in total dependence upon the help of the Lord and seeking your prayerful attention, I would direct you to a word that's found in Genesis chapter 25, verse 22. It's the last part, really, of the verse. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. So really the part upon my mind has been, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" A struggle, friends. That's what religion, true religion, is. A struggle. Oh, you might say, well, they're discouraging words to start the sermon off this evening. No, I see them as an encouragement, friends, because you know, if you know anything of real religion, you will know the difficulties of the way, and the difficulties of the way are often the things that are uppermost in our mind. It's the darkness and the difficulty and the burdens and the cares and the troubles and the worries. And it's those things that cast us down. We quote it in prayer. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" These things disquiet us. But there is a balancing of the clouds for the child of God. Because why am I so? There is not just the troubles and the difficulties and the burdens and the worries and all those things that we've just named. There's also the favour of God. If it be so, why was there a struggle within her? Why is there a struggle for the children of God? It's because, isn't it? Because we have the old man of sin, and we hope, if the Lord has started to work, the new man of grace. Now, my question is, do you come into chapel tonight and there's no struggle whatsoever? Nice and easy, you come in and sit on the seat and it's comfortable, and you listen to the sermon and you go home, and that's all good, isn't it? Or is it? So, we each have got to stand before God, and we've each got to stand before him and give an account of our lives. Yes, our lives. How is the case with you? How is it with me? Are you being stirred up at all? Or is it nice and easy? In and out of chapel, come again next week. I'm glad you do, friends. I'm glad you do. And don't get me wrong, it is good to present ourselves before the Lord. But oh, we need stirring up, don't we? We need stirring up, so that we might make our calling and election sure. Oh, these are not easy things, and you know I'd run away from speaking them, friends, truly. But if it be so, here was Rebecca, very favoured in that remarkable way in which she was led, the Abraham's servant was led to find her, and she said the very thing. She said the very thing that was the exercise of that man's concern when she came. Like, "There's drink for the camels also." Wonderful, wonderful. The work of Lord God in directing her to Isaac. So she was married to the right man. Oh, young friends, seeking partners in life, seeking that you might have those friendships, go and inquire with the Lord. I ask you to do that. I present that to you, friends, because you might have a choice and the Lord's might be another. Because he'd grant that favour, you know. It's a great favour, those of us that have had that. And I hadn't thought of saying any of that at all, friends. a favour, whether it's been 10 or 40, 50 years. Oh, to give thanks for a partner in life. There's been a support and a help to one another. But you know, then she comes, and in the normal way, expecting, and in a normal way, of course, it is that time when a babe makes a movement in a womb. But this was no normal situation. These twins from an early stage were fighting against each other. And in a way, they're a forerunner of the way it should be, as I say, the flesh fighting against the spirit in spiritual things, or as it should be, Jacob, of course, against Esau, and we've read a little of that later on. And it's so solemn, friends. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And there's no in between. There's no purgatory, friends, that you can spend a million years in, as some of the Catholics like to believe, and then once you've had your sins atoned, you go on. No, friends. You know these things. There's nothing new, you know. But oh, to be stirred up. How stands the case with my soul with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. What are your credentials? What's on that list? What's your case, friends? What's the bullet points of your case? If you were to write some bullet points down as to why you should go to heaven tonight, what are they? Friends, let's search these things out. Young people, what are they? Few bullet points. We like our bullet points, don't we, in different ways. People write their memos in business and things. A few pertinent points. Ah, we only need one, don't we? We only need one, friends. We need the blood of Jesus that we've been singing of, don't we? We need this friend indeed. This friend that sticketh closer to a brother. That's what we need. But let's come back to the text. You know, I hadn't intended speaking in this way at all. But if it be so, these unnatural kickings, fightings between these in her womb, she wasn't sure why it was. If it be so, if these children, which they were an answer to prayer, the fact that she was expecting them, Isaac entreated the Lord, we read, for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord appeared. And she said, Lord, you've appeared. And yet, why is it that they're kicking in this way against one another? And maybe in your pathway, we talked this morning a little about the ifs and the whys and the wherefores, but the Lord has appeared, but you don't know why the Lord has appeared in that way. You don't know why this and that has happened. Friend, oh, that you might be given the strength to do what she did, that you might have that knowledge to go to Jesus. Take it to him. Ah, she went to inquire of the Lord. If it be so. Ah, you know, why is it that we're so? We have a lovely hymn, you know, on some of these things. And we had a friend at Staplehurst, you know, used to give this hymn out regularly. And I think it was a very language of his heart. If I love, why am I thus? Why am I thus? If I love the Lord, why is it that I'm having to walk in all this trouble? Why is it that things aren't clear in my pathway? Why is it that my soul is in a dark place? Why is it that I am struggling in the journey of life? If I love, why am I thus? And if I have true love to the Lord, why can I not manifest it to him? Why do I not walk closer to him? Why do I keep falling into these sins and these weaknesses? And perhaps there's a particular sin that you carry with you that you keep doing, and you keep on with it, and you think, I shouldn't do this, but I do it. Ah, if I love, why am I thus? Why this dull? Yes, why is there no enthusiasm for religion in my heart? Why am I at a distance from God? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Isn't this solemn? The next two lines in this hymn. Hardly sure can they be worse who have never heard his name. 283 we're in. You know, what a hymn that is, friends. Could my heart so hard remain? Prayer a task and burden prove? Is that where it is with you sometimes? Poor sinner, you know, it's your flesh and the enemy fighting. But you know, it's a wonderful thing if you do feel sad about these things. It's a wonderful favour if you do question why you haven't got more love to the Lord. Because the very fact that you're questioning shows that it's a concern, it's a burden, it's a worry, it's a trouble to you. Oh, the dead know nothing. They're not concerned. And the enemy's not concerned with them either. And we talked about him this morning, and oh, we can't get far away, can we? If the Lord blesses us, friends, if the Lord does bless us, we are particularly exposed to the enemy. And you might say, well, that's a slightly strange thing to say. But if I know anything in a way, a word from the Lord in our pathway, a word from the Lord in our souls, and the enemy is not far behind. Oh, you dreamt that one up. You imagine that word. You know that word. You read that a few weeks ago in the Gospel Standard or the Friendly Companion. You read that in someone's obituary. You've taken that for yourself. Your father had that word, or your mother, or someone else in the family. The Lord doesn't bless souls with the same word. Friends, the devil is a liar. And he will make you feel at times that you've got this very question within you, because you've got the new man of grace desiring the Lord, that he gives you that element of grace, and against it the old flesh is still there, and the enemy's stirring the flesh up. And the enemy and the flesh, friends, they're much bigger than as it were, that zeal of religion you might have yourself. You need the Lord to support you. And he does. He does come in. He does come and support you. But oh, prayer, a task and burden prove. Every trifle, every small little thing give me pain if I knew a Saviour's love. Well, you know, this is how the Lord works. It does bring us closer to him, because you know the result of it is the same as the result if we're true followers of the Lord. And that's why I find an encouragement in all this. You might think, how strange. You start off with the word struggle and you say it's an encouragement. Friends, if I've got a struggling Christian here tonight, I think that's wonderful. If I've got a Christian that's, as it were, in a 6-lane highway and they think they're going to heaven, then I don't, because they're travelling too easy. Oh, but you know, the Lord says, cheer up, ye travelling saints, cheer up. Oh, and that's what we need, that word from him to cheer us up and to help us on our way, isn't it, friends? Yes, it's over the nooks and the crannies. It's over the nodules, it's over the difficult places, it's over the pathway that leads to heaven that is so difficult. You know, Christian, oh, just loveless friends, Christian, evangelist says to him, do you see yonder light? And he answers like this, I think I do. I hope I've got a few I think I do Christians here tonight as well. Not those that say with assurance that they feel, oh yes, I'm on the way, I'm in the way, I'm going there. No, friends, I think I do. Those thoughts. And you think this, that you hope that the Lord is with you. And you know, the Lord in time, he does give his people a time of full assurance, friends. Different for every case. And it is not set down. But you know, most of the time we drag along, don't we? Creatures of fear, we drag along, we fear where no fear is. Yes, so we have these two states within us. But what did she do about it? She went to inquire. Oh, she could have gone to godly Abraham. Abraham had still got another 15 years to live. Now you think Abraham, his faith had been proved and tested and tried when he took Isaac already as a sacrifice. Or he thought that that's what he didn't. His faith was tested. The child of promise, his seed would be as the stars. And yet his very son, he's got to take to the top of the mountain
and sacrifice him, but the Lord will provide. Young person, the Lord will provide. Take it to him. Jehovah Jireh. We mentioned that this morning. Don't forget that word. The Lord will provide. I don't know what you want, whether it's a house, whether it's some way forward for the future. The Lord will provide. You know, when I was just a few months before I was married, we went to Pickhill Horam for an evening service, not knowing quite how we would get together and sort things out for a mortgage for a house. And the minister there, dear Mr. Peter Simmons, he stopped in the middle of his sermon and he suddenly said this, "The Lord will provide you a house." And I was stunned, friends. I shouldn't have been stunned because I'd been praying for the Lord to show me that he would provide. But I was stunned. Oh, our weakness of flesh and our lack of faith. But you know, he provided and he will for you, young friends. But I've lost my train of thought there, but we think of Abraham, that dear old man who'd got another 15 years to live. She could have sorted him out. It's like you might want to go to an older person in the church or a deacon or one of the ministers. No, she didn't go to them, didn't go to him. Oh, in those days, they'd go to the high priest. That's where they would inquire. Go to Melchizedek or go to one of the priests and seek them out. No, she didn't go there either. She went to the one place that could have helped her, friends. She inquired of the Lord. And as helped from above, that's what you've got to do in your soul concerns, even at this moment in time. That's what you've got to do in your church concerns. That's what you've got to do in your individual personal concerns in your life. And you say, I am trying to. Pray that the Lord would help you more and more. But Peter continued knocking. He's got to the door. He's come away from the prison so remarkably delivered. Yes, those four quaternions of soldiers all around him, he's delivered. And there he is at the door where they've been praying for him. Well, they won't let him in. They come to the door. They didn't let him in. They're stunned to see him. I talked about myself being stunned there. They were stunned. The very fruit and answer to their prayer, and they couldn't believe it. Oh, how much is our lack of faith. But there he was, and he continued knocking till they let him in. Friends, continue knocking. I say, go back to the Lord again and again and again. Go again seven times, the perfect number, and then the heavens will open and the rains will come. Oh, I would encourage you, friend. So if you're struggling, it's struggling in the way, struggling with your religion at this point in time, friends, it's not an unusual thing. And oh, it's an evidence. It's an evidence of life that you are struggling. So, oh, don't be dismayed. Don't be upset by it. Don't think what a mystery all these things are. Godliness is a mystery, friends, because on the one side, we are base, we are lost, we are fallen. And on the other side, when the Lord shines in and gives us a word of hope, a word that enables us to trust in him, it's so diametrically opposite that the two can't mix, as it were, can they? They cannot mix. And yet, the Lord will have the ascendancy. Wonderful truth, you know that. He will. He will save his elect. He must. His honour and his name's at stake to save us from the burning lake. Oh, wonderful this is. If it be so, why am I thus? Maybe there's a poor soul that feels confused. They feel in their religious concerns at this time tossed about. Oh, what did Suki Harley said she was? She invented a new word, tossicated. Maybe that's where you are, all and around. You don't know quite where you are in spiritual things. Friends, you know what the answer is here, don't you? And she went. She went, as I say, not to man, not to good men, not to honest men, not to senior men, as you might call it, in the faith. No, friends, she went to inquire of the Lord. May we be helped, each of us. We have those things to inquire of him. And you know, he will be inquired of. What does he say? I think, if I can find it, Ezekiel somewhere, I will be inquired by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will yet for this to be inquired. Your this is, or these things, what is the this with you tonight, friends? I will yet for this. This matter, this thing, this circumstance, this soul matter, friends, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. Just inquired of? No, friends, listen to these beautiful words. May they encourage your poor soul. May they encourage mine. Inquired of the Lord, I will yet be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them, to hear and answer that very plea. Oh, friends, how wonderful this is. I will increase them with men like a flock. You could see that in a number of ways, but this, I will increase their faith. I will increase their belief in me because they've been in the depths and I've delivered them. So, I will yet be inquired. Oh, what an instruction it is for you and I. What an instructive word. I will yet. Yet, friends. Oh, you say I prayed for many years for this matter, for this thing. I prayed for a long, long time. And yet you're saying that I will yet. Yes, friends. It's the word. It's God's word. It's not my word. But there is a time when the Lord will appear, there is a time when he will perform his promise. Abraham proved it, did he not? The time of the Lord will appear when he will work. I will work. And who will let it? That is, who will prevent it? None. Not your sinful self, friends. None. None will prevent it. You know, there was an evil king, Manasseh. You know, he reigned for 55 years and he did endless damage. And you know, he was responsible for the death of many believers. Many believers. Manasseh. Did he end in heaven? Hell? Did he go to hell, friends? He was a bad man. And you read the word of God about him around it and you think, wow, really? That man is in heaven. You know, we read that he came into a time of trouble. Somewhere in Chronicles, I believe it is. The Lord brought the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters. So they carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord, and he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And that's it, friends. The Lord will have us to be humbled. I believe Rebecca was humbled here. She was humbled because she had such a mystery that she didn't know why the two were fighting with each other. One that would be the sign of the those that were holy and pure, as it were, and loved of God, and one of those that would be not holy, that would be distant from God. The enemies in her very womb. She went to the Lord. Well, Manasseh, we do read then, after that, we read earlier that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the abominations. And the blood of the people ran down the streets. And this king now, friend, is singing the praises of God in heaven because the Lord would atone for his sins. Oh, you're not too bad. You're not too bad, friend. Oh, you might say, you've no idea what sins I've committed. I haven't. But you're not too bad, friend. Oh, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need or her need. That's the vital thing. It's not just being a vile sinner. It's living to feel their need as shown their need by the Holy Spirit. Oh, welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Welcome, friends. Oh, the love of the Lord, that he takes the worst things. Like Manasseh. What does the hymn say? A Mary or Manasseh's sins. Mary Magdalene, why? Has she got one devil? No. Has she got two? No, she's got seven, friends. And they're all to be cast out. And she is to be sat in heaven. Oh, doesn't it encourage you that the very worst of sinners will be there? You know there's going to be a battle in them, isn't there? They're terrible sins, and yet the Lord working. Ah, yes, how wonderful the gift of salvation is. And the Lord seems to have picked some pretty bad characters in the Bible, friends, and it should be an encouragement to you and I. Because, you know, if we know a little of our heart, we know just how bad we are. The dungeon, the desperate evils that dwell therein, the thoughts that come upon us that we wish they didn't come upon us. You know, I think thoughts are some dreadful sins in our thoughts, aren't there? Thoughts of murder, thoughts of adultery, thoughts of thieving. You know, as a little child, there I was in a sweet shop and I'm seeing some sweets and I think, oh, I could just sneak those into my pocket. Children, don't steal. Don't steal. Don't even try it. Just beg of the Lord that you don't think of it. You know, I've never forgotten that. There I was. And the Lord's brought it back to me when I'm older. And I feel ashamed of that sin. Oh, you might say, well, that's just a little sin. You know, friends, if that sin's not covered, I've no place in heaven. And it's the same for you, for the smallest of your sins. Oh, bring them to the Lord. Yes, go and inquire of the Lord, that he might give you a sign that all your sins are washed away, that you can look on the brazen serpent, as it were, like they did in the wilderness, and it said, and live, live. Oh, you know, I did think about that. I don't know if I can remember the hymn, but the lovely hymn of the brazen serpent. You know, our friend where we've been staying, you know, today and been looked after, I don't think he realised perhaps he'd left this hymn open. It broke my heart. When the chosen tribes debated against their God, you know, and complained there as hardly treated and complained their hopes were spilled. God, for murmuring to requite them, fiery serpent sent to bite them, lively type of deadly guilt. But it was this, friend. Jesus, for sinners smitten, wounded, bruised, serpent bitten, to his cross directs their faith. And I thought, you know, that is where he leads these struggling believers, to his cross. You know, there's no struggle when we really see by faith our Jesus on the cross for us. There's no struggle then. None at all. Why should I poison cherish? Why despair of cure and perish? Look, my soul, look. And even as the serpent was raised up by Moses in the wilderness, he raised up the serpent. Dying sinners, look and live. Nowhere else, friends. What a gospel. Do you love this gospel? Would you love this gospel if you could? Ask the Lord to give you love to this gospel. Dying sinners, look and live. Look to the Saviour, to him alone. And she went. She looked and she lived, friends. She went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Yes, it's a bit like the two that we've been talking about. Oh, we spent some time today talking about the enemy of souls, haven't we, friends? And you know, it's real. It's real with religion that he's not far away. But it's interesting, you know, Solomon talks of this. What shall be seen in the Shulamite? Now you might think, what is that? It's a strange word. What does it actually mean? A Shulamite is a woman of Shulam or Shunem, which was part of Jerusalem. And she's a fair one. You know, the Song of Solomon is a deep book, isn't it? We need the Lord to open it up to us. The love of Christ to his bride, the church of Christ. But it says this, return, return, O Shulamite. Return, 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 that we may look upon thee in all thy beauty. But what will ye see in the Shulamite woman? As it were, that company of two armies. Yes, you'll see that which is wonderful and beautiful. You'll see that which is vile and wretched. Yes, what will be seen in the Shulamite? And, you know, it reminds me too of the Canaanites still in that land. You know, when they went into the land of Canaan, and first of all, there were 12 that were sent in there, one representing each tribe. And you know, they saw that the giants were greater than them. They saw that the Canaanites were strong in that land. And what did they say? Well, there were two of them. One of them was Caleb. One of them was Joshua. And they said, we are well able. We are well able, says Joshua, to overcome them. They felt that with the fear of God. They could overcome the enemy. We are well able to overthrow them. And so are you, friends. Whatever might come against you, you are well able with the Lord's power and help to overcome the enemy. But the Canaanites still in the land. We have a hymn that goes, that talks of that. May the Lord help us to look at that in a minute. But you see, they saw the enemy was so much greater than them. And that's where you and I are. We see the enemy so much greater than us. And so there they were. But there were 10 came back and said, we can't. The enemy's too big. We can't overthrow it. Oh, Joshua, no. Joshua says no, and so does Caleb, but the other 10. And of course, they decided with the majority, and they went with the 10. And the Lord brought them into trouble because of that, because they did not enter at that time. Oh, friends, you know, the Canaanites still in the land to harass, perplex, and dismay. And that's what it will be like with your flesh and the enemy. Harassing, perplexing, troubling, dismaying. Why does it say so often in the word of God, be not dismayed? Why does it speak of the need of the fear nots? It's because these things are against us, friends. Yes, brought Israel of old at a stand, for Anak was stronger than they, or so they thought. Ah. Oh. And then it goes on to say, 'tis thus with the Israel on earth, those of us that are followers of the Lord, who groan with a body of sin, partake of a spiritual birth, the work of God's Spirit within. And then it goes on to say, today with a taste of his love, Jehovah, their souls will expand and they feel full of love. Tomorrow, he'll give them to prove the Canaanites are still in that land. And so it is, friend. It is the ups and downs, ins and outs of the Christian life. But take courage. You know, as I say those words, dear Mr. Harold Jemison comes back to my mind. You know, that dear man, he was going to preach in London and he caught a train and he saw a sign. I think it's a pub sign, actually. I'll be honest, friends. Take courage. And it was a word he had to take to them to preach from. You know, I would say to you, friends, as help to the Lord, take courage. Take courage. Go on. Yes, Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed. Go on. Oh, you say, no, I'm on the edge of giving it up. On the edge of giving it up. Well, Mr. Ernest Rowe, you know, he was a young man. And he worked on the railways, on the sidings in the trains. And he got into a brake van and he begged to the Lord or the Lord showed him his sins, and he got on his knees and he felt dreadful, really. The Lord showed him, convicted him of his sin. And he begged of the Lord that he might come, but you know, that man was in such a low place, he jumped down from there, and he saw the next train coming along in the sidings to leave some of the fans there, and some of the trucks there, and he was tempted to stand in front of it. And then the Lord came in and said, "Thou shalt not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." And that man, we broke him down, he went back into his brake van, and he got on his knees again, friend, and he blessed the Lord for that deliverance. And you know, within a year that he was a young man, he was preaching the word. Oh, friends, you know, that's how close it can come, the enemy, ourselves, and the Lord. Pray to be kept, we said this morning. I know, friends, some of this might be the same message, but it's a lovely message. And a necessary message to be kept, to be, oh, beautiful word. It comes in my mind. The righteous shall hold on his way. You say, well, that's not me then. I'm not righteous, friends. We talked about the vile. We talked about the wretched, righteous desires. The righteous shall hold on. And they're the ones that inquire, why am I thus? Why is my pathway like it is? Why do I carry with me all these sins? Why do I still walk in sin though I believe in the Lord? Why is it now I'm a member, I've joined the church, yet still sin is ever with me? I'm still distant from God. In fact, I'm not walking any closer than I did before. No, friends, and you may well not. You desire it though. You desire. And friends, I would always encourage souls to remember this, those feeble desires, those wishes that are so weak. 'Tis Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. And that's the message. If only the Lord would encourage you, like David encouraged himself in the Lord. If only the Lord would encourage you to continue seeking, to continue to inquire, to go on inquiring. You know, they used to seek out the, I think they were called a seer, and then they were called a prophet. It says, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. And that's what they would have gone to. But no, friends, as we said earlier, to take it to the Lord in prayer, that's where we should go. We shouldn't take it to any man. You know, and sometimes it's that so much we can't even talk to those in our family or our loved ones. But lay the matter. Hezekiah, you know. Hezekiah, as it comes to my mind, he'd got that. They wrote to him, did they not? And he receives the letter and they're going to come and destroy him. Sennacherib and the armies are coming against him. Oh, Hezekiah, what are you going to do? Hezekiah is looking pretty grim for you. You believe in God, but they're even saying to him, your God won't stand up for you, Hezekiah. Because our armies are greater than yours. Ah, I don't know what you have before you in this week of time or the month ahead or whatever, friends. But I will say this to you, the army, if you've got the Lord on your side, then none can speak against you. Oh, they might speak against you, but the matter will be, if you lay it into the Lord's hands, you will prove that I am the Lord, I change not. And he will be with thee. Israel, passing through the fire, he will not leave you in the matter. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God. Friends, we know that word so much. Take it home. Ask the Lord to bless it to you. You know, my dear dad preached in this chapel many times, I believe. He came once in the night. We woke him up as a child. I was very young. I don't remember it. But we couldn't sleep, and I don't know what happened. He came in and slept with one of us, but he couldn't sleep then. And we slept by his side. I think it might have been me. And you know, he opened the Bible and that precious promise, Isaiah 41 verse 10, he opened the Bible and it was in red, friends. Now I know we have red lettering where the Lord speaks in some of the Bibles, but actually when he looked at it the next day, it was just in normal black. But I can honestly say it was such a blessing to him. It stood out in red. Fear thou not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And it may be, friend, that's the very word you need to help you to go on. Oh, if it is so, may the Lord bless it to you. Oh, went to inquire of the Lord. What better thing can we do? Well, as we say with Hezekiah, it was so that he was mightily troubled. And so he had his letter. He received a letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord. And this is it, friends. It's so beautiful. And spread it before the Lord. And he prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of Israel, etc., and asked for deliverance. Well, spread it then. Spread your matters, friends. Lay them before him. And don't stop doing it, friends. You know, he will come. He will come. He must come. Because he will truly deliver all of his children in the day when he comes. He must do it. You know, we had a dear old deacon at Staplehurst, Mr. Ray Holman, and I've got a little book in which, a bit like a diary really, where he wrote through the years his experiences, and it so encouraged me because he waited 24 years before the Lord brought it to pass regarding him being baptised. But you can read in that diary, he puts this, still waiting, a little touch, still waiting, waiting on, continuing to wait. Friends, wait on the Lord, I say. Wait on him. In his appointed hour, thy suit, that is thy matter, thou shalt obtain. Not thou might obtain, thou shalt obtain. And he will get all the glory, and he will get all the honour, the day of his appearing. Well, may the Lord help you, may he help me to struggle on. We started with a struggle, and friends, we'll end with the struggle. And you know what? The final struggle will be crossing that River Jordan. But you know, the Lord's people are going to get across that final hurdle. They will get through to glory. They will sing his name forever and ever. And you know how wonderful it would be where congregations never break up, where Sabbaths have no end. Well, may the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £730, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, and there will also be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock next Lord's Day. And the collections next Lord's Day are for the local Trinitarian Bible Society Auxiliary. Our friends at Oakington also hope to hold their TBS service on Wednesday evening this week. Let us close with hymn 690. On wings of love the Saviour flies, and freely left his native skies to take a human birth. The wise and righteous men go near, his wonders see, his sermons hear, and think him nothing worth. Hymn 690.
The word, we do pray, remember each of the friends, take them home in peace and safety. Lord, do be with them in the coming week ahead in whatever they might have. Help thy servant Jew here later this week. And oh Lord, also next Lord's Day, and remember this people. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.